The Old Testament lesson is according to the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel." Our second letter is John's first letter, the 4th chapter. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So that we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 1st chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message was our gospel lesson. There's a story of a young 23-year-old man that after he graduated college, his parents, who were rather well off, allowed him to have any trip that he wanted. Anywhere in the world he could go. So he chose Europe because he wanted to go see the beaches in France. So he goes on this trip. He spends as many days as he can on the beaches. He goes to Paris. He enjoys the nightlife. He basically parties himself quite senseless for many days in a row until the money ran out. So then he called his mom on the phone and she says, "All right, I can wire you some more money after you go visit your aunt and uncle in Switzerland." Well, this was not something he really wanted to do because he was there just for the party. But to get more money, he decided he better do what mom wanted, just get it over with. So he gets to Switzerland. By the time he gets there, he realizes he only has $3 left in his pocket. What is he going to do now? Because his mother had also told him that he needed to bring a very nice gift to his aunt and his uncle. And what are you going to get for $3? So while he's thinking about this, he sees this exceptionally beautiful girl working in a shop that sold crystal. So he went to talk her up a bit, you know, as young men will do when they see a beautiful girl. It's amazing what we will do when we see a beautiful face. Right, gentlemen? Yep. So he's talking her up, and he's doing a fine job of it, and she's moving some crystals. She picks up this big crystal bowl and drops it, and it breaks into three pieces. She runs to the back room because the owner of the store is coming out of the back room, sees that she's broken this piece of crystal, and he's furious with her. So the young man has an idea. He buys the broken crystal for $3. Then he tells the owner of the store, wrap it up very nicely and put it in a box. So he gets his box, leaves the store, goes to his aunt and uncle's house, and he's got a plan in mind. When he steps through the door, he acts like he's falling, drops the box. Okay? You know what he's thinking. Well, the aunt picks up the box, opens it up, and what she finds inside is three pieces of broken crystal, each one very nicely wrapped and taped. It was a gift out of obligation for the young man. It wasn't a gift that he really wanted to give. Have you ever given a gift out of obligation, whether it's a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, just because you have to, you do it? Is it just part of life? I think those are the hardest gifts to buy because they're not heartfelt at all. Christmas does have a tendency to be commercialized, but I'm also going to show you in a way it's not been commercialized in a little while. We get caught up with the obligations of Christmas, but the true gift of Christmas is about love for one another. There's a story of a school Christmas program. They decided to be politically correct, so they banned the idea that it was a Christmas festival. It was a holiday festival. And before each group of kids got up to sing, they held up a letter for the name of the song they were going to sing. So this one class got up to sing, and they were going to sing Christmas Love. But the little girl who was holding the M held it upside down, so it said Christ was love. 2,000 years ago, we observed in a strange or an obscure corner of the world two parents of little consequence in an insignificant little nation. 2,000 years later, we still celebrate his birth. We're halfway around the world, culturally very removed from that area of the world, but yet we celebrate his birth. The kids had it right. Christ was love. The Hebrew name for Jesus means God saves. Back in the prophet Isaiah, it would also be said that his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's more to Jesus than what just meets the eye. He's not out there somewhere. He's not over here. He's not up there. He is amongst us right now. Matthew doesn't give us any story of the angels coming to the shepherds, the shepherds going to see the baby Jesus. Matthew gets right to the point. And if you look at what I read earlier in the gospel lesson, what he spends his time talking about is not the birth of Jesus as much as the fact that Joseph was going to secretly divorce Mary because he didn't believe it was his child. It shows us something. Mary and Joseph were not perfect people. It took an angel's intervention for Joseph not to do that. They weren't perfect people. They weren't a perfect family. They didn't have it all together. But yet God saw them through it all. Did you know that Christmas was not celebrated the first two centuries after Jesus' birth? It wasn't until about A.D. 245, a group of scholars tried to figure out when exactly was he born. And the church official position was that this should not be done because he's not some pharaoh of Egypt that we celebrate his birth, because that's what the Egyptians used to do. But in spite of the official church saying no to it, scholars continued to try to figure out when Christmas was, and they came up with dates like January 1st, January 6th, March 25th, or May 20th. It wasn't until the year 349 that Pope Julius finally settled on December 25th for Christmas. The Christmas tree also points us to Christ and the true meaning of Christmas. Now, there's a lot of when you look at the origin of the Christmas tree, you'll find a lot of different versions out there. So I found one that I liked. Is it the actual one? I don't know. Well, let's just run with it, all right? At the time of the late 15th century, there was a very popular play being performed about Adam and Eve and the expulsion from the garden. So soon, fir trees were being put into houses with apples hanging from them at Christmas time to remind us of our sin and our need for a Savior. The apples were replaced by small white wafers to remind people of communion. Later, small pieces of pastry cut in the shape of stars, angels, hearts, flowers, and bells were seen on the tree. The tree itself reminds us that God came to save us. I ran into a woman in the, it was Walmart. She had a t-shirt on that says, "Put Christ back into Xmas." And I looked at her and I said, "Do you know what Xmas even means?" She says, "It's a way not to say Christ." And I says, "No, it comes from the Greek church. The X is the first letter of Christ's last name. So it's Christmas. It's still saying Christmas, but just the way the Greeks do it." And she says, "I don't care what you say. I know what's real." Sure, lady, I just made this one up. I pulled it out of my hat on the spot. See, Christmas is not as commercialized as we think it is, because the tree points us to Christ. The ornaments point us to Christ. The manger scene points us to Christ. Even good old St. Nicholas himself points us to Christ. I don't know if you know the story of him, but he was born to a very wealthy family, and his parents died young. But he was a very humble and devout man, and he found out that in the village where he lived, there was a desperately poor family. They were having troubles putting food on the plate, and the man had three daughters. And this was the time frame when you married off your daughter, you had to give a dowry, a gift to go with her. If you didn't have a gift, she didn't get married. And to put it delicately, at this time, the only job a woman could get that paid was as a streetwalker. Well, just before the girl turned of the age where she would normally marry, St. Nicholas went through a bag of gold through the window of the house, and the father found her in the morning thrilled, because now he could have the dowry for his daughter, so he could not only feed his family, but keep his daughter's honor intact. When second and third daughter reached that age, gold coins were thrown into the window. For the third daughter, Nicholas got caught. The father stayed up late, caught him doing it, and he was embarrassed that he had been caught doing a charitable work. But to speed the story up a little bit, Nicholas forsook all of his wealth to enter the ministry. And when the local bishop died, they had like a church convention to choose a new bishop, and they chose Nicholas because he was a humble man. He wasn't out for some power thrill. But around the year 300 AD, the Roman emperor had one of the worst persecutions Christians had ever faced. Thousands of Christians were hauled off to prison, some to be fed to the lions, others just to be executed. Nicholas was one that was arrested and thrown into jail. Years later, he walked out because of a new emperor, Emperor Constantine. He's the one that made the Roman Empire a Christian empire. So he released all the Christians from jail. And when Nicholas went back to his village where he was the bishop of, they were chanting, "Saint Nicholas has come home." Do you know why good old Santa Claus wears red robes or red clothes? Because that's what a bishop wears. So who did Saint Nicholas worship? Who was he completely devoted to? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even Santa Claus himself points us to Christ. By the way, the original reason we gave gifts at Christmas was to remind us of the gifts he gave to the three daughters. Now it's kind of morphed into we give gifts because the Magi brought gifts to the baby Jesus. Whatever the reason is, I'm fine with it, because either way, it points us to Christ. I started the sermon with the young man who gave the gift out of obligation. Jesus is the ultimate gift at Christmas, and he didn't come out of any sort of obligation. He is all-powerful God. He's eternal and all-knowing. John 1:3 says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus is more than just an infant, a good man, or the perfect example of love. He's the creator of the world. Everything that was made through him. Creation itself cries out to its creator. Not only did he come to visit his planet, but he also came, most importantly, to save us from our sins. The love of Jesus is not some theoretical, hypothetical, or metaphorical expression, but the love of Jesus is something that's very tangible tonight. In the American culture, we usually talk about people having the Christmas spirit or not having the Christmas spirit. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. But for some people, it's the smell of gingerbread men cooking in the kitchen, or it's hearing a particular song or singing a particular song, or for me, it's seeing Charlie Brown's Christmas special. Yes, I still love Snoopy and the gang. All right, but whatever it is, the Christmas spirit passes quickly, because the Christmas spirit's not an event, an emotion, or a time of season. The spirit of Christmas is found in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who personifies love, the love that never fails, the love that reaches out to us wherever we are at any given time. So tonight, this hallowed Eve, let us celebrate together, celebrate more than just family, more than just good times, more than just the riches of life. Let us celebrate the pure gift of love in the person of Jesus Christ. May the love of our Lord Jesus, the love that never fails, be with you and your family. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.